Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Ann Ball and Bruce Alpert. Later, John Russell will have this week's education report, and we will bring you a special report on an important person in United States history. But first, here is Ann Ball.
Pakistan is investigating a suicide attack on a police training center in the country's southwest. The attackers killed over 60 new police recruits and wounded more than 120 others. The attack happened near the city of Quetta, the capital of Balochistan province. It began late Monday night. Three attackers entered the housing for recruits and began shooting at them. On Tuesday, the Islamic State group released photographs through its Amiq news agency. The pictures showed what it said were the three attackers. They were carrying machine guns and had explosives on their bodies. Witnesses said the attackers seized hostages before Pakistani troops and other forces entered the building to fight the gunmen. The fighting lasted several hours. Two of the attackers died when they set off their explosives. The third was shot in an exchange of gunfire with security forces. The attack ended just before sunrise on Tuesday. A provincial government spokesman told VOA the victims were all unarmed and were either sleeping or on their smartphones. Some of the recruits and others inside the building escaped by jumping out windows. They told reporters the gunmen were wearing masks and began shooting as soon as they entered the building. The Islamic State has claimed responsibility for the attack. But a Pakistani military commander said telephone calls suggest the gunmen belong to the Sunni militant group Lashkar-e-Jhangvi. General Shir Afghan said that Pakistani intelligence had listened to the calls. He said the attackers were getting orders from people in Afghanistan. Moen Chima is an expert on Pakistan. He teaches at the Australian National University. He told VOA that the militant group, which has ties to the Pakistani Taliban, has not carried out attacks in Balochistan before.
Clearly there is motivation for Lashkar-e-Jhangvi. If it is confirmed that it is the Lashkar-e-Jhangvi which has carried out this attack, there's clearly motivation because they have been targeting public officials and now the military as well in retaliation for the intelligence-based operations against them.
There has been an increase in militant attacks in the province, especially in Quetta. A suicide attack in early August near a hospital there killed more than 70 people. Chima says the Pakistani military has been fighting militants with some success, but he believes the battles will continue. I'm Ann Ball.
Television star Billy Bush is the latest well-known person to lose his job after reports of bad behavior. The American television network, NBC, announced last week that Bush was leaving its popular morning show Today. NBC acted after the release of a 2005 recording of a lewd discussion between him and presidential candidate Donald Trump. In it, the two spoke in an offensive way about women and took the issue of sexual assault lightly. The video became public before the second presidential debate between Trump and Hillary Clinton. Mark Feldstein heads the broadcast journalism department at the University of Maryland. Feldstein said a television network cannot remain profitable if it keeps Bush on TV following release of remarks that angered many people. Because the incident has become so infamous, Bush will never again be able to command the kind of huge television audience he once held on NBC, Feldstein said. Bush joins a long list of famous people who lost jobs after bad behavior became public. In 2011, for example, Congressman Anthony Weiner resigned after it was reported he had used social media to send revealing photos of himself to women. Robert Thompson is founding director of the Blair Center for Television and Popular Culture at Syracuse University. He said there are many reasons why some people can recover from bad behavior and others never do. Some of it comes down to how bad the behavior was, he said. But some of the public response is affected by how those shown to have done bad things respond. One test is how honest they appear when apologizing. Another factor is how much people value what the celebrity did, Thompson said. Thompson notes that people generally disapprove of the behavior of movie directors Woody Allen and Roman Polanski. Allen married his adopted daughter. Polanski was charged with sexual abuse with a 13-year-old girl in 1977. But millions of people continue to watch their movies. Some of it comes down to how good they are at what they do, Thompson said. A lot of people feel they make very good movies. However, 79-year-old Bill Cosby probably will never recover his reputation, Thompson said. Cosby has been a successful American actor, comedian, and writer. But more than 20 women have accused Cosby with sexual assault over 10 years ago. He denies the charges. But Thompson said there are so many charges that it will be difficult for Cosby. He will probably never win back millions of fans who watched his movies, television shows, and attended his comedy shows. Eric Schiffer is chairman of Reputation Management Consultants in Los Angeles, California. He helps people in business and entertainment who face fallout from bad behavior. Schiffer said he would recommend that Billy Bush not make appearances over the coming months. At some point, he said, it would be good if he gave an interview in which he goes further to express regret than he did in his written apology. I'm Bruce Alpert.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Education Report. Pronouncing English can be difficult. One reason is because English has some difficult sounds that are, unfortunately for English learners, very common. But English learners can improve their pronunciation by using simple, everyday objects. These objects include candy, a pencil, and a mirror. What are some of these common difficult sounds? Well, you have already heard or read them several times in this story. In English, two different sounds are spelled with the same pair of letters, th. You hear th in the word this and th in the word thing. When you say this, your voice box moves. When you say thing, air moves freely through your throat. Marla Yoshida teaches English as a foreign language at the University of California, Irvine. She notes how strange these sounds are.
Those are hard for speakers of a lot of languages because they're very unusual sounds.
Sometimes, th sounds are difficult for English learners to make because saying them seems impolite or rude. All cultures have rules about polite ways to speak to each other. When speaking English, learners may need to break some of the rules of politeness they use in their native language. Tamara Jones, a program coordinator at the English Language Center at Howard Community College, explains. She tells why English learners might feel uncomfortable making the th and th sounds.
This can be really tricky for lots of different speakers because in many languages, it's not polite to stick your tongue out of your mouth when you're speaking. But in English, to make the th or th sound, you have to put your tongue between your teeth.
So how can English learners teach their tongues to pronounce th and th correctly? Tamara Jones recommends a tasty, fun way to get in the habit of sticking your tongue between your teeth using a lollipop.
I like to give my students lollipops, and they hold the candy right in front of their mouth, and they can practice saying words like thanks or there or this, and they can practice sticking their tongue out between their teeth far enough so they can taste the candy. So this is another fun way to practice saying that tricky sound.
Other sounds in English may not be as strange as th or th, but they can still be difficult to pronounce. One example is the r sound. English speakers often use r when they make comparisons. Here is an example of an r sound in a popular song by Britney Spears. Tamara Jones says many English learners have problems clearly pronouncing the r sound. Part of the difficulty is finding the right tongue placement. To practice using the tongue correctly, Jones recommends that English learners use a pencil.
But one little trick that students might find useful is to put a pencil in their mouth, lengthwise, so they're biting down on the pencil and the pencil is sticking out of both sides of their mouth, and then saying the sound r. When they say the r sound, their tongue should not touch the pencil. It should be down under or around the pencil, but it shouldn't touch the pencil. So this is a nice way, kind of a fun way, to make sure that they are pronouncing that sound correctly.
Consonant sounds are not the only common difficult sounds for English learners. Vowel sounds are often difficult, too. Marla Yoshida, the teacher at the University of California, Irvine, points out that English has many vowel sounds. She says that English dialects can include between 13 and 15 vowel sounds. By comparison, some languages, such as Japanese and Spanish, have only 5 vowel sounds. 2 of the hardest challenges for English learners are pronouncing the I and E vowel sounds. Listen for the difference between the I and E sounds in popular music. Tamara Jones at Howard Community College says one way English learners can start improving their pronunciation of the I and E sounds is to use another common object. Look in a mirror, she says, while you say the words pin and green.
Because to say I, your face is very relaxed, but to say E, you are pulling the sides of your mouth almost like you're smiling. It's a bigger mouth movement. It's a tenser sound, E versus I, that is more relaxed. So looking in a mirror can help students verify that they are saying the sound correctly because their mouth is moving in the correct position.
Clearly pronouncing common but difficult sounds can help you communicate better in English. Improving your pronunciation will take time and hard work, but a few basic objects will help. Touch a lollipop with the tip of your tongue to practice v and th sounds. Bite a pencil, but do not touch it with your tongue when saying the r sound. Use a mirror to make sure your face is relaxed when you say I, and that your face is tense when you say E. I'm John Russell.
Today we have another report about a person who was important in the history of the United States. We tell about a man who helped change American laws on racial separation, Thurgood Marshall. Gwen Uden and Doug Johnson have the story.
Thurgood Marshall was born in Baltimore on July 2, 1908. In that city, and in many other parts of the United States at the time, black people were separated from white people by law. Black children did not go to school with white children. Black people lived only in areas where other blacks lived.
Over the years, Thurgood Marshall became a very good storyteller. He told stories about himself or about places he had visited. Often the stories were funny, but most also had a serious message. One story was about being in trouble with his teachers when he was a boy in Baltimore. Mr. Marshall said one of his teachers punished him by sending him to the room where the school's heating equipment was kept. There he was told to read and remember the words of the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution is a long document. Thurgood Marshall said he read all of it more than once and learned to remember most of it. He said this schoolboy punishment gave him a lifelong respect for the Constitution. As he grew older, he began to think about the Constitution's guarantees of freedom. Those guarantees, he believed, should be for people of all races, not just for white people.
Thurgood Marshall attended Lincoln University in the state of Pennsylvania. He completed his studies with honors in 1930. He wanted to go to law school at the University of Maryland, but officials at that school refused to let him attend because he was black. So he went to law school at Howard University in Washington, D.C. Howard University was a school for African Americans. Thurgood Marshall graduated first in his class. After completing his law studies, he accepted the case of a young black man who wanted to become a lawyer, too. The young man wanted to attend the University of Maryland Law School. It was the same school that had refused to admit Thurgood Marshall. Again, the school refused to let a black man become a student. So Mr. Marshall took legal action. He won the case. The young black man was permitted to attend the university's law school. Thurgood Marshall would go on to win many more cases dealing with racial separation laws, and years later, the University of Maryland would name its law library in his honor.
Thurgood Marshall was a very good lawyer. The people he represented in court were black and poor. He never earned much money, but his name soon became well known. The National Association for the Advancement of Colored People offered him a job. He went to work as one of its legal representatives. In time, he became the organization's chief legal representative. He traveled across the United States. He fought against racial separation laws. He also defended black people who were charged with a crime, but who did not have the money to pay for legal help. Many of those cases reached America's highest court, the Supreme Court of the United States. During his life as a lawyer, Thurgood Marshall argued cases before the Supreme Court more than 30 times. He lost only a few cases. Slowly, the laws of racial separation in America began to change. Many of those changes were the result of the work of Thurgood Marshall.
Legal experts say that Thurgood Marshall's most important case was the one known as Brown versus Board of Education. The case involved the city of Topeka, in the middle western state of Kansas. A law there said that having separate schools for black students and white students was legal if the schools were the same. It was the idea of separate but equal. But the schools were not equal. White children received a better education than black children. Thurgood Marshall agreed to argue the case before the Supreme Court. When newspapers reported this, he began getting messages threatening him with death. Other civil rights lawyers said he was moving too quickly. They said a defeat in the Brown case would greatly damage the cause of civil rights. They told him to wait, to move more carefully and slowly.
Thurgood Marshall did not listen to the threats against his life. And he did not listen to those who said he should move more slowly. The Supreme Court heard the case in 1954. Mr. Marshall said it was a violation of the Constitution to separate people because of their race. So, he argued the racially separated schools in Topeka, Kansas, were illegal. He added that nothing could be equal in racially separated schools. One Supreme Court justice asked him to explain what he meant by the word equal. He answered, "Equal means getting the same thing at the same time and in the same place." The Supreme Court agreed. It ruled that no one could be rejected from a school in Topeka because of race.
The case of Brown versus Board of Education provided the basis for other court decisions. It helped destroy the terrible wall of legal racial separation throughout the United States. Some people say it is the most important Supreme Court decision of the 20th century. That decision was the beginning of years of legal battles against racial separation in America's schools. It also sent a message to the people of the nation that Black Americans had the same rights as white Americans. Many African Americans said Mr. Marshall's victory in 1954 changed their lives and their futures.
In 1961, President John Kennedy named Thurgood Marshall to be a judge of a federal appeals court. During his years on that court, Judge Marshall wrote more than 100 opinions on different legal issues. Several of his opinions from those days have been approved as law by a majority of the Supreme Court. In 1967, President Lyndon Johnson nominated Thurgood Marshall to the Supreme Court. President Johnson said the nomination was the right thing to do and the right time to do it. Thurgood Marshall became the first Black person to serve as a Supreme Court justice. He served for 24 years. Justice Marshall wrote opinions about legal representation in America's criminal justice system. He said everyone has the right to be represented by a good lawyer, no matter how guilty they may be. In his last years on the Supreme Court, he often voted against the majority of the more conservative members. Justice Marshall always voted in dissent in cases in which the majority voted that a death sentence was legal. He said no one should be put to death for any reason.
In 1991, Thurgood Marshall announced that he would retire from the Supreme Court. Some reports said he no longer wanted to fight against the conservative majority of the court. At a news conference, a reporter asked him why he was retiring. Justice Marshall looked at the man and said simply, "I am getting old and coming apart." Another reporter asked Justice Marshall how he would like to be remembered. He sat quietly for a moment. Then Thurgood Marshall said, "I want to be remembered for doing the best I could with what I had."
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.